Welcome back to issue 22 of TLDR. I am your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe. With me, as always, is my hunk and crime together, Nick. We are the Woodward and Bernstein of the Dork Shared Gooniverse. Friar, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well, Doc. It feels like I haven't seen you in on screen in like, what, a day, which is a long time for you and I now.
Well, you had me come on and say some very nice things about you on Monday.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You friggin' rat bastard. I forgot about that. Should I say hamster bastard now? Are we talking about that today again?
Always talking about them, the tricksy little hamsters.
All right, let's get started. Adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters today. I think we should go into the second arc of the characters from that version that we read from Dynamite Comics.
Well, I was thinking maybe more of a character study. You know, I'll take Steven. You can take The Rock, you know, and then we can really parse this out over several issues where we each talk about a different
thing. Okay. Well, I wish you told me this beforehand so I could have prepared properly. Yeah. Now I'm pissed. All right. No, but seriously, I thought that went really well, the roasts and everything. I had a real fun time with it.
Yeah,
you hurt my feelings with that line about me being a Division III. What was it again?
Dipshit.
That's what it was. Yes. So I'll have to remember that comment later on. But anyways, we had a couple interviews in between. We had tie-in that we did for DC Future State. So obviously we had Scott Snyder shortly. Or no, that dropped
Thursday.
I get so confused because the way we did it. Yeah, we had Scott Snyder right around issue 21. And then we had Sean Lewis just before this week's issue 22. And I was really pumped about Snyder, and I thought both went really well. But this is the first chance you really got a chance to reflect on talking to Sean Lewis, who you've wanted to talk to since we started the show, pretty much.
Well, since we got Scott Snyder the first time, because prior to that, I never would imagine we'd be doing interviews. I was sitting in a fucking parking lot, Supercuts, waiting to get my hair cut when you texted me and said, "Hey, you around tonight? You want to interview Scott Snyder?" And yeah. And then we set that up. We did that, and then we started talking about maybe you know, come up with some other people. You know, we'd like to interview, and then you had gotten the X-Men, the animated series writers, and we had set up Adam Lawson, and then I had this idea when Future State was first announced. This was probably back end of October, beginning of November, where Sean Lewis was announced that he'd be writing a two-book arc on Superman and Metropolis for Future State. So I had this idea. Let's see if we can do this, because we knew Death Metal would be coming to an end just as Future State was starting. So have this sort of bookend interview where we could talk to Scott Snyder on the end of one massive event. And then if we could get Sean Lewis to talk about the start of the next big event, it's how awesome that'd be. And I didn't think it would come to fruition, but look at us, Nick. Look at us.
Yeah. We got them both very different ways. We got Scott, who we've talked to before, so easy enough. And then Sean, we had to get him to slide into our DM somehow. Yeah.
But he slid right in there.
It wound up working. So if you guys haven't listened to that, we had a great time. The tie-in that we did, we'll be doing that again on Friday. We have another draft, I think, for that. Of course, those are a little bit shorter, and we're not putting those on the Change My Mind or Geeks Worldwide audio channel. You have to go to Doc's Twitch. You have to go to Facebook, DSG Facebook page, or you have to go to Change My Mind on Twitter to watch us. We're not putting that out there because it's just there's just a lot going on. So we don't want to overwhelm people, especially on the audio channel. But with there being so much going on, Doc and I have had our times where we're falling behind on certain books that are ongoing. I know personally the Eternals first issue came out last week, and Star Wars High Republic came out last week, the first issue of that as well. And I finally got a chance to sit down and read those. The Eternals, of course, we want to read because we're talking about a property that is that we're going to be learning about more later on this year. And then Star Wars High Republic, I mean, I just want more Star Wars stuff right now, especially. What are the ones, before I talk about mine, though, what are the ones that you have been you've been trying to catch up on?
Well, as per usual, there's the goddamn alarm.
All right. Unbelievable. It's like clockwork.
It really is. Every single issue. Oh, man. So I had a couple of books to catch up from last week. Crossover number 3. Was fantastic. And some of these books are or maybe even a couple of weeks old, but Crossover number 3 came out. That was fantastic. The Witcher Fading Memories number 2 That just
bite me too on that one. I forgot about that one. Yep.
That, I mean, I just love it. It's only 4 issues, I think, total. But just great stories. If you're a fan of The Witcher, whether it's the books, the TV show, the video game, all of it, it's fantastic. I Walk with Monsters number 2 came out. The first book I read the week that came out, I decided to read another book instead, and I fucking hated that one. I should have read this one because this book is fantastic. So I caught up on issue number 2. Stillwater number 4 by Chip Zdarsky just gets better and better with each episode. So I'll be talking about that on the show at some point. And then another book that I might be talking about too down the line is Resident number 6. This is also by Vault. Great book, great series so far. Some great horror vibes right in my wheelhouse. So this will be a fun one to talk about.
Okay, nice. Now, the crossover one is one I am absolutely most excited about. It's killing me that I can't read this right now because you're going to do an episode 4. And I know that kind of goes against what we're doing, but like with these new titles coming out and everything, we want to be able to tell people about it still because like, you know, we have guys on in the DSG who want, you know, who are asking us about what to read. And, you know, we're just for the sake of the show, we're doing it. We're kind of going about it that way. But for me, with the Eternals, it's focused on Richard Madden's character that we're going to see, Icarus. So it's good. You know, I guess maybe that tells me who we're going to be focused on a little bit more. As much as Angelina Jolie is going to be, you know, one of the headline names, and then we got who else? It's not Taylor Kitsch, the Kit Harington, and is it Kit Harington? Yeah, Kit Harington's in it, and the guy who played Robb Stark. So getting a little bit a better feel for that. So I think, you know, we'll see. It was a good start. This is not something I would normally read. 1,000% would not normally read. The art is – I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. It's just not necessarily for me. So we'll see where this story goes. It was a solid start. The ending of the first issue was good. Hopefully it's good enough for me to report back on it in an entire issue of TLDR, but we'll see about that. Either way, I will tell you guys by the end of the arc how I feel about it, or 3 issues in, we'll see. Also, Star Wars High Republic, off to a good start. I like that one very much. I was getting worried they were going to do one of their stupid one-offs that they do because they did a bunch of that.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is. It looks like we got a legitimate series going.
Is Eternals ongoing, or is it a limited run?
Yeah, that's ongoing, and that's Gillen, your guy. So, he's more my guy now. Yeah, all right. But anyways, that's stuff that came out recently, you know, last week, maybe the week before. We got plenty of stuff that's out this week as well. And what's new is now brought to you guys by Rogue Grips. Use promo code FRIAR, FRIAR, to get 25% off your first order. What's the matter? Why are you shaking your head?
FRIAR. Couldn't come up with something, you know, that maybe included the both of us or all of us, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. What, I got to make it easy for him, Doc. I should have had him misspell Fryer, FRYER.
There we go. A little humility. You know?
Yeah. But I think you texted me, too, that somebody from a DSG listener actually already went and got some stuff. Are you
sure? Yeah. One of our other Billy D, amateur Photoshop extraordinaire Billy D, I talked about this on when I was streaming yesterday, and he went out and he bought 2 pairs of Rogue Grips for his controllers for Xbox and PlayStation. So
nice,
off to a good start.
And I'll tell you this too: I asked them just to double check because I don't have PlayStation 5 yet. I will be getting PlayStation 5, making the move from Xbox. They said that, you know, PlayStation grips that you buy there, they will transfer over to the PlayStation 4 grips that are advertised in there. They transfer over to the PlayStation 5 and same with all the Xbox. You'll be fine. I need these because my fingers hands are sweaty all the damn time. So this is a game changer for me. And I'm getting back into the gaming with Gotham Knights coming out, which I forgot the friggin' name last time. The game, like one game I've been excited for in years, and I friggin' forgot. But anyways, let's see. This week we got, obviously we're going to be talking a lot about Future State a little later on in the week. I know I reviewed Justice League for Geeks Worldwide. I'm also going to be reading Kara Zor-El and Superman and Wonder Woman. What are you reading from Future State this week?
So I read Batman Dark Detective, which I also reviewed for Geeks Worldwide. Artist on that, Dan Moore. It was great. It was unlike anything that I've really seen Dan Moore do. And the story was great. So you can see, you can catch my review over there on Geeks Worldwide. This one, when I finished it, I had to text you because it stunned me as much as it stunned you. I read Robin Eternal and I didn't hate it. I kind of liked it.
I'm blown away. Yeah. I am blown away. I almost now feel like I got to – like, this. That was the last pick of the draft.
Yeah.
I fully expected it to be. Oh, okay. And, yeah. And then you got Teen Titans, right?
Teen Titans and Green Lantern. I haven't read those yet. I'll make sure I've – obviously, I'll have those read for Friday. But, yeah, Robin Eternal kind of surprised me a little bit.
And then American Vampire 1976 continues to roll on. I know last week I mentioned that John Constantine Hellblazer – no, it's Hellblazer Rise and Fall – is what's the there's been it's been a it's a 3-issue series, and the final issue I think is set to come out actually in February. That's by Tom Taylor. I had told you guys that it was coming out last week originally. I did have access to that, and then I looked one day and it was gone, and then I looked on some different sites, it's gotten delayed. I would imagine that's probably not to take attention away from Future State. I'm not certain. Obviously, American Vampire is a little bit different and everything. But you know, when Scott talked to us about it a little bit, we didn't have a chance to get into it too much. But he said he's very proud of what he's done so far with this run, and I've enjoyed it so far. So maybe I'll talk about American Vampire 1976 when all that comes to an end. Let's see, Marvel this week. I don't have anything personally that I'm guaranteed picking up, Doc, but I might pick up the King in Black one-off. I don't know if it's a one-off or they're doing a mini-series, but Gwenom versus Carnage. I like Spider-Gwen. I haven't read enough of her, but I want to read more. I have one trade. I think it was the Ghost Spider stuff. But either way, I'm probably going to pick this one up, and you know, I'll let you guys know how it is. But do you have anything from Marvel?
Yeah. So you'll know how many books there are because half of the comic book is just them listing off how many books are in this fucking event. So you'll know. Darth Vader number 9 came out today. I haven't caught up. I'm 2 issues behind because I just picked up my stack of books from the comic book shop, Hub Comics, on Saturday. So I've got those queued up and ready to go. So I'll read 7, 8, and then I'll grab 9 when I can. But so far, so good.
Okay, Boom has 7 Secrets 6 coming out, which I believe will mark the end of the first arc. We'll see. And if that's the case, then I will probably do. I don't know if I'm going to do it right away next week, or if we want to wait till the first trade comes out. You and I will talk it over, but that conversation will be on its way. I will be talking about it here. I have enjoyed 7 Secrets. It's again another Tom Taylor thing. He's one of those guys where if he writes it, it's worth giving it a chance almost always. So, yeah. And this one you will not be disappointed with. I also know Mighty Morphin 3 is coming out, and I know I've been big on the Power Ranger stuff, especially Shattered Grid is just frigging phenomenal. Actually, recently, I think I told you I got a Ranger Slayer action figure to go with my Lord Draken. So, yeah. I'm all about that stuff. But there's just so much out there right now. I think I'm gonna wait till the first trade comes out, or I will catch up on this at some point, but I haven't been able to pick it up. But it's something that I know the first issue I liked enough that I will eventually go back to it. Do you have anything from Boom?
Yeah, so Origins number 3 came out this week. I've read the first 2 issues. I've enjoyed it. I don't know if it's one that I'll do on the show. We'll wait and see as we get, issues after I read issue 3, 4, 5, that first arc done. But so far it's been good. I've enjoyed it. And so that came out this week as well.
Okay. And then did AWA have anything? I feel like you texted me that there was something.
Yeah. So AWA had 2 books come out, neither of which I've read, but both sound very interesting. One is Man's World, number 1. And this is sort of about a teenage, superhero kind of coming into powers for the first time. This one sounded really good. And then the other one was Erratic, number 2. So I missed the first issue, but I wanted to mention it. Because it actually sounds really good. So these are ones that I'm going to try and pick up and read and see, if they're books I want to keep reading.
I think I saw, I cannot remember where, it must have been in Archangel 8. I saw somewhere Erratic was being advertised. And I was like, this looks good. This is something that I would read. So you found some. We've been fortunate with both TKO, which I have talked about a lot on here, and you've talked about AWA quite a bit, where they've both produced quite a few good stories that we've been able to talk about, and I'm excited to hear about. Hopefully you can tell me about Erratic. If not, I still might give it a shot either way. Yep. And then there's is it Hotel, right, with 2 L's? Is that what it is?
Hotel. Yeah, I think I'm saving Hotel for Valentine's Day that week. I think that would be perfect synergy.
Because I hope. Yeah. Based on what I've heard, I think that's very true. I am very, very excited for that one. Just like I am for the Dark Horse book that you're also planning to read eventually, Autumnal. Which issue 4 is out this week.
Yeah, issue 4 of Autumnal came out this week. I went and picked that up, and it was the last copy at Newbery Comics, and it was a Sweet Variant cover. So I can't wait to read that. That's just been fantastic. That 100% going to be an episode. And then, so that was from Dark Horse. And then Vault had a book that came out today that I've been reading, The Devil's Red Bride, number 4. That, again, that's another book that's just been getting, it's not heavy action. It's just really good storytelling, but each issue has been getting, you know, revealing a bit more. So I've been enjoying that because it's got a lot of that samurai Ronin, you know, feel to it that, that I like. That if you haven't listened to the Sean Lewis interview, I'd listen to, because he mentioned something about Ronan that got me really excited.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know what? I might have to pull that out so that people can find that a little bit easier. Maybe make a post off of it, because it's like, who wouldn't want to read that?
It was a fantastic idea. And you can't, you know, for those listening, you know, and obviously we didn't put the video out for the interview, but when he mentioned it, my eyes just lit up like dinner plates. I was like, yes. Yes.
I might have to go back and there's a little bit of video stuff that I got to go find, especially with the Change My Mind roast. There's so much good stuff from there. But between your reaction to the Ronin stuff and I won't go any further. I almost went too far. Yeah. Between your reaction to that and then my reaction to Snyder talking about Nightwing is, I don't know who was more excited. Honestly,
Pan Tent City is what that was on both accounts.
For real, honestly, I think what trumps it all though is when. What was it when Cullen Bunn talked to us about Cad Bane, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a big time boner moment.
Oh, my God. I lost my shit when he said that. I even had my – I got pretty excited. Real quick aside before we go into what Image has coming out this week, I know that I saw with Justice League they have a Dan Moore cover, and I think it's Carl Ngu, N-G-U, I believe is the artist's name. I know with those two variant covers, I mean, those two covers, friggin' awesome. Dan Mora drew the main cover for Dark Detective, I believe, right?
Yes.
I don't know. We displayed a variant last time we did the tie-in. Which would you pick between if you could only have one?
So I actually bought the issue today because I like having some of these number ones. So I bought the variant.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And Mora's your guy.
Mora's my guy. It's got nothing to do with the cover, because Mora's cover is great.
Yeah.
But there's just something about that variant when I look at it. It's just dark and depressing, and it's so unlike the images that you get in the book. Because I think in my review, I described it as, you know, Batman meets Akira. It was just like, these bright neon, you know, it gave me this feel of like Tokyo at night, you know. I grabbed the variant because I don't know, there's just something about it where I love it. And part of it this is not Dan Morris' fault, is I don't like the Future State, like the main Future State covers, Future State, you know, the lettering, you know, over the front. It's not my favorite. And so I did grab the variant on this.
Like, it's not like Banner, but it's something along those kind of lines. I know what you're talking about, but I would probably get the Mora Dark Detective. I will probably pick that one up. But with Justice League, I went with Kale. Again, I'm pronouncing his name wrong, and I apologize.
New or something like that.
New. His variant cover is freaking awesome. He's great. He's a great cover artist.
But I would tell you the variant covers across the board for Future State have all been dynamite.
Yeah, there definitely been some kick-ass ones. Now, before we get to what you're talking about this week, Image Comics had, Commanders in Crisis 4 is out. And I know I've been saying, I'm going to catch up on it. And guess what? I haven't caught up on it. Well, guess what, guys? I didn't like the first issue. So it's kind of tough for me to get the willpower to go back. But I think this weekend I will have some legitimate time to go and give 2 a shot, and then maybe 3, and then if 3's fine, then I will go to 4. I would love to do an episode on this and just shit on the first issue and then say that the next 3 are great, or the next whatever are great, but I don't know. We'll see. Was there anything else from Image that you saw?
Well, my feeling would be is if 2 stinks, then don't even bother, right? If you're not going to really approve upon, you know, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But what came out this week is Homesick Pilots number 2. This is another great little horror book. The first issue was fantastic. It's about sort of like this punk band, trying to, you know, drum up interest, and they want to do a concert inside this haunted mansion. And shit ensues, and it's absolutely fantastic. And then you I think you tweeted this out, like, I know what Dr. Gilmore's going to read, right? Dr. Gilmore, why the fuck did I say that?
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to call you that from now on, Dr. Gilmore.
Okay. So your doc is on my Twitter handle, right? But yes. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, so I know what I know what Backrack is going to read, right? And it was haha number one.
Yep. Oh, that looks.
And this looks fucking terrifying. I typically I don't have a phobia against clowns. It's like I can't, go to the Barnum and Bailey Circus or anything like that. But this cover is fucked up.
Yes, it
absolutely
is.
Fucked up. And
yeah, a little bit.
So, but I was like, it sounds fantastic. I got to read it. So I also went and bought that today. I was like, let me grab issue number one. But I made sure I grabbed the cover. That I should have had it ready to go to show you for the people watching, but instead of having the clown on the cover, it's just a solid pink.
You stink.
You flip that over. The regular cover is underneath it, so it is there still, but I could bypass it, if I choose.
For those who listen to the show but don't necessarily follow us on Twitter or have Twitter or whatever, it's the cover. Joe did not read this, and I think it was Darren over at Geeks Worldwide who reviewed this for the site. But it's a cover. The cover is basically a Ronald McDonald looking clown, and he looks terrifying.
Yeah.
He's not like itted up where he's got all like the crazy gnarly teeth and everything, but he's pretty friggin' terrifying. So.
Yeah. So it's like, this is solid color, no imagery. Yeah, I'll take that one because I know what's on the inside is really gonna fuck my head up.
I can't wait to get a report on that one. All right, so that was what we got for Image. That's everything for what's new this week. And oddly enough, you have an Image book planned for us, one that we've heard about a little bit in the last – well, you've read it, of course, but I've heard about it quite a bit more in the past week or so.
So I am doing Image Comics Thumbs by Sean Lewis.
Nice.
And so for those that started with us, we – so subscribe to the Change My Mind podcast, iTunes page. We interviewed Sean Lewis on Monday night, and that interview dropped today. And it was just with that interview coming out and with us talking Future State, I thought this would be a great time to talk about Thumbs and Sean's indie work, because that's primarily what he does.
Yeah.
And
well, especially with Thumbs, like he told us. Why he got
And so this was a book I hadn't known anything about Sean Lewis prior to reading this book. And this is one of those books where the cover sold me 100%. I walked in because I hadn't heard any buzz about it. I was in the comic shop that day. And, Sean talked about these issues are thick. They're like 50, 60 pages.
Yeah.
And a nice glossy cover. And it's just black and pink. And it says Thumbs. And I sort of read the synopsis. And, I'm hooked. I'm in. And so this is just one of those series. This is one of those you can get it in a collected, a graphic novel now that I think everyone, should read and should have, because it's Sean Lewis. To read Sean Lewis, he's a great character driven writer, but as he mentioned in the interview, he likes to write about themes, and the story that he tells, start to finish, is so fucking good. So before I continue to get to the book, writer Sean Lewis, artist Hayden Sherman, and the letterer was Hayden Sherman. There was no mention of a colorist. I'm going to assume it was Hayden Sherman. Those are the three that were listed. And this was only a 5-issue run, but it packed a punch. Like you said, it could have been 10 issues if it stuck to sort of, regular, sizes. But
that's a good point. Yeah. So this is essentially a 2-arc run, but there's just more. It's the length of a 2-arc run, but there's more detail within this 1 arc.
Yeah. And he's got a lot to say. Sean is, as he talked about in the interview, is, this idea of technology and the role that it plays in our lives, both for the good and for the detriment. And that's the overarching theme, with Thumbs and so people using technology in a way that helps them escape, but also from the creators of it to suppress the people that it's intended for, and then, you know, you've got the other, you know, so it's really about two factions here fighting each other, and the other side, which is the government that wants to suppress it altogether and tell you what to think and tell you, you know, how to act and how to feel. And so those are some pretty, you know, large themes. And so, like I just said a second ago, there's two sort of overarching groups at play, you know, in this story. There's Adrian Camus and his, you know, technological empire, you know, that he has built. And he uses this technology, you know, as a way to recruit kids to his army. Mm-hmm. So think of Jeff Bezos saying, here, take all this cool free technology. It's free. It's yours. It'll help you learn. Play these games. You're going to love it. And what he does, it's a tool, because the people that excel at these games that he's created, the name of the game is called Fortress, which is a Call of Duty type game, okay. A virtual reality Call of Duty type game. And it's for most kids, it's just a way to, it's just a thing to do. But the kids that are really, really excel at it, they're recruited to fight in his army, to fight the power, which is this other group, which is the government that is there solely. They want to strip the technology away from you. They want you to look the same, think the same, act the same, right? So you've got, you know, two.
Sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah, it's two completely different ideologies, but neither of them are really the good guy,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's a heavy theme, but it plays out really well. Because you don't really, this is not like when we were reading Aphrodite 9. And mm-hmm. remember I talked about, like, you're first introduced to this faction and you want them to win. You want them to win. You want them, the other faction, they're the bad guys. And then remember how I posed that question. Well, what if things had flipped and Aphrodite had gone into the other side? Would your feelings change on who you were rooting for?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you're really rooting for here is the main character, Thumbs. Charlie is his name. Sense.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So those are so that's sort of the big theme and the big elements of it. And essentially what the plot is that Charlie, also known as Thumbs, him and his friend Nia they excel at this game Fortress. They get recruited. And I'm not spoiling anything. This is all within the first book.
I trust you now.
Yeah,
it's taken a while. I think it was last week where I was like, you know what? I think it was actually when the calendar turned over. I think that was my New Year's resolution. I didn't want to tell anybody. I'm going to trust Doc a little bit more when he's getting close to that spoiler line.
When he's getting ready, yeah. You know, and you know what helped is Scott Snyder helped with that, because remember we before we started the interview, I asked him, you know, do you want us to avoid spoilers? Do you want us to wait a certain amount of time before we go into spoilers? He goes, no, the book's out. Spoil away.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
If it's in the first book, I'm going to, you know, but I'm not going to give anything away here. But,
right. Of course.
But the, what the story is, so those are the themes, right? But what the story is driven by is that, and I'll talk into the characters a little more detail in a second, but Thumbs and his friend Nia are recruited into Fortress, into this army, and they're on a mission, and something goes, you know, cockeyed, and Thumbs is critically injured on the brink of death. And he's put into a medically induced coma, and then he wakes up 6 years later, and everything is just, you know, is gone to shit. Okay. So this is with the overarching theme, but this really is a character story, you know, between, you know, the characters that I'm about to mention. So
before you go into the characters,
yeah,
I do have a question. So
yep.
With Sean, and for those who've listened to the interview, we know what I'm kind of talking about. Like he is clearly a thoughtful guy. Like he puts. Yeah. Whether it's his characters, his plots, whatever, the things that interest him, he puts a lot of time into the decisions that he makes with what he's doing. Do you, because like I see some of these things and I saw like with Superman and Metropolis, like I see this and I see that, but then there's like, oh, but this was also at play and that was also in play. Some of the stuff it just kind of didn't catch. So yeah. He's very smart, clearly. Yeah. Do you feel like that it doesn't seem like a topic that would necessarily be as preachy, but you said it's, you know, it's pretty heavy and everything. Do you feel like at times it's like, okay, we're getting into the weeds too much. Let's keep this moving. Cause there is a lot to read here.
Not at all. Not at all. Because it is a character-driven story. Like I said, you have those overarching themes, and they're there, but it's not, it's, you see a lot of it in the art,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I'll talk about in a little bit. But it really is, at the end of the day, a story about Charlie. It's about Thumbs and, mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, it's not a spoiler. One of the things that happens in the beginning of the book is that his sister is taken from him.
Gotcha.
And so he wants to get his sister back. So it's a story about hope. It's a story about survival. But it's also, you know, has these things that it wants to talk about. And so, you know, I'll dive into that a little bit more in a second, but I want to talk about the characters because this is really what everything revolves around. I mean, yes, you've got your good guys and your bad guys, and there's that battle there. But again, it's about these characters. So Charlie, he's the one that's known as Thumbs because he plays video games.
Does he have road grips? Which I just would like to point out, Brick in the chat is trying to store up shit. You got to remember, Brick, that this is also, Road Grips is sponsoring both me and both the shows. So, you know, that's why we have my name.
I'm trying to store up shit.
Doctor A pissing off as it is. I don't need to hear more. Anyways.
So you've got Thumbs, who's a high level player in Fortress, and he gets recruited by Adrian Camus to join his army. And like I said, he almost dies in issue one. He gets put in the coma. He wakes up, and his only goal is to find his sister. And that's really what this all revolves around, because that is the only thing that's really keeping him alive, you know, is that fight to find his sister. And then all the stuff that unfolds from there. So his sister is Tabitha. She gets taken by the power when it's suspected that the family is playing and or using Camus technology. So like I said, the power, they want to suppress you because they want you all to think the same, act the same, you know, look the same. And so they're big on narc on your fellow man, right? If you suspect someone of using Camus technology, you tell us, and then they intervene. And so that's what happens. And, you know, wow. Thumbs is able to escape, but his sister isn't. Would I rat you out?
Would you narc on me?
Change that goddamn promo code and I'll think about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's about the response that I expected. Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. Good to know.
And then there's Nia, who is, I wouldn't necessarily call her a friend, but she is, it's Nia and Thumbs that get recruited into, Fortress at the same time. So they become close that way. She's there when Thumbs damn near dies. And then there's the mom, who isn't like your mom or my mom. She's a virtual mom, a virtual assistant. And these are illegal. But she's this character, this AI is the one that is raising Thumbs and Tabitha. And then she comes back in when Charlie awakes from his coma. She's there, getting him up to date on the world as it is and how to go about finding, you know, his sister. So, you know, those are the main characters. Obviously you've got Camus and the power and, you know, and all, but they're more like, again, they're just more themes and they're there, you know, until you get to the conclusion of this book, which was just, it was a nice emotional ending to this book. So it doesn't give anything away. Sean's just got a really great way of writing and making something like this, you know, seem, you know, human when you're, mm-hmm. especially when you're dealing with artificial intelligence and technology, you know, and all that. So, you know, like I said before, both these groups are suppressors in their own way. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Sorry. So with this being longer than a normal series would be, where it's still five issues, but we're getting double issues essentially every step of the way. I know that's not necessarily going to deter you at all, but did you, like, I know we talked a little bit about the, like how you, do you ever feel like it was going so long? Do you wish that there was like another arc to this story as opposed to getting so much down and, in the weeds in those five issues?
No. So the story as it is perfect in the sense that I wouldn't want it any shorter. I wouldn't want it any longer. The only thing I had when reading this from, you know, month to month was because each issue was so long, is that you'd always have to go back and kind of reread the issue because there is so much in there, right? Mm-hmm. So with it now being out in a graphic novel form, it's perfect because you can just read it all at once and just, you know, and go through it all without like, oh shit, what happened? Okay, let me go back and reread that. And with each issue being so long, it's a little bit of a daunting task. And so that, you know, with each issue being so long, that'd sort of be my only knock on it. But no, I wouldn't want it changed. It's, I think it's absolutely fantastic the way it is.
Cause that's one thing, like when we, this to me, that's my only concern if I was recommending this to somebody or picking it up myself, because what we try and find with these indie books is like, well, the reason these exist is because, yeah, we like the superhero stuff. We love them in the movies and everything too. And there are some awesome books with these characters, but we want to see stories fleshed out a little more. We want to see where, you know, writers, artists, whatever, they're not like handcuffed with decisions that they're allowed to make. We want to be able to kind of just expand and get whatever's in their mind out. Like, would it be great to maybe see it happen with, you know, a Batman or a Wolverine or whatever? Sure. But we know that there are other powers, you know, at play in all this. So with this, like, if you like the comics, it's like, I like them, but I feel like there's something more or I want something more. That's what the indie books are all about. And Thumbs is like a perfect, sounds like a perfect one for people to kind of start in on, because it's just as much as longer, it's five issues and it's done.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's funny because you kept pressing Sean, you know, if you were to pick one book of yours to read and recommend, you know, and so it was between this and Saints. And I would agree. I haven't read Saints yet. I think that's one that you want to read. So I will abstain from reading that, because you know that definitely piqued your interest. But I mean, this is a great book, and like I said just a second ago, because it's already in a trade paperback form, it makes it perfect, because it's almost just like maybe a little bit thicker version of what you're going to get from TKO, right? Because all their stuff is already, right, and it's a little bit bigger format, right? So, so lengthwise, size wise, you know, that's kind of the ballpark you're looking at. And you know, being able to read it start to finish without any pauses in between issues is a great way to read it, because I just reread it again myself. And you know, I read through it faster only because I was more familiar with it, but you just want to turn the page and keep going. And so that is it from a story standpoint. From an art standpoint, this is another book that's sort of unlike anything, you know, I've seen visually, because I'm not familiar with Hayden Sherman's art. This was, again, my first experience with that. And he's got at least in this book, it's a very unique style. It's sort of sketchy, but in a, like an old school, you know, like superhero kind of way, in terms of, so it doesn't look old. It doesn't look like a 1950s, 60s, 70s kind of comic, but it's just got that kind of cool, sketchy superhero look to it.
Okay.
But it is more updated. It is more modern. But what makes this book unique is that the only colors are pink, black, and shades of gray.
So it's like a cover behind you for those, you know, watching on the stream with us.
Yeah, except flip it, right? So you here, the predominant color is pink, and then you get a little bit of black, you know, right through here. It would be sort of the opposite, where it'd be predominantly black with great highlights of pink, whether it be through the highlights in the hair, Thumbs when he speaks, you know, when he's doing his like inner monologue stuff, that's, you know, in pink lettering. And so it was just kind of fascinating to look at and read, because I don't know why the black and the pink and the shades of gray gave it a futuristic look. Because like I said earlier, we're talking about Batman Dark Detective, you know, that had a futuristic look, but it was, you know, bright lights. It looked like, you know, Tokyo at night. Like I said, you know, Batman meets Akira. This was much, much more toned down, much more muted, with the only real color being those little highlights and pops of pink. And I don't know. I can see how that might put some people off, but it just pulled me in even more.
Whenever artists make a decision like that, I'm sure they're not the only ones that are making that call. But whenever a decision like that is made, I feel like a little bit more confident, because, like, you know, they feel good about the art and everything, but they also feel really good about the story that they're presenting you, because they don't need to distract you with all the colors. Yeah, maybe would it be nice to have, you know, normal, you know, the normal colors or whatever mixed in, but they can kind of get a little bit wonky or different with it, because, like, we know what we're doing here. So
Don't post that. My mom watches this.
Oh, does she? Well, she should also listen to the audio versions. Brick's getting very inappropriate in the chat. Anyways, let's see. Oh, can so this is you know five issues as much as it's essentially two arcs length of work that you're getting here. Could you see this turning into a movie or
one season? So that's a good question. I think you could pull this off in like a 2-hour movie. Because the story as it takes place, you have the beginning and then you have the fact that he's in a coma, which wouldn't take any time at all. It would just, you know, and then it's pretty much from when he wakes up from a coma to the end. And so that could lend itself to a movie, I think, a little bit better than, a TV show. Now, unless it was like a 4, you know, part, like miniseries kind of thing, maybe, but I think just the way that it's written and the story that it tells, it would be better as a movie versus a show you would watch.
Okay. Sean's got quite, I know he's like, he's joking about how like he doesn't have this big catalog or whatever, but I'm interested in Saints. I'm interested. Is it Coyote or Coyotes?
I think it's Coyote.
Coyote. I'm interested in Coyote. And then of course you're talking to me about Thumbs. I want to give that one a read too. Yeah. So those are three books right away. I mean, even if he's only got what, four others besides?
Let's see. There's Coyote. There's The Few. There's Saints.
The Few. Okay.
There's Clan Killers, which is not about the clan that, you know.
Oh, right. Yes.
The Clan Killers. It's like an Irish Game of Thrones.
That one sounds really good. Friends. So The Few is the only one that didn't really sink in with me at all. Like, and even then, if that's the only one, it's like, oh, wait a second, that's what, 4 for 5, 5 for 6? Dude, he's cooking with some serious gas. So I'm very excited to give more of his stuff a shot going forward. And that's all you introduced him to me. But is there anything else on Thumbs before we move on to the book that I have planned?
No, this is, it's just, it's a great, great futuristic book. Well written, you know, great art. And I think a book that it's one of those books that, having on your shelf, you're like, yes, that's a damn good book, and you'd recommend it to anybody.
Oh, recommend it? Yep. I mean, those are usually the books that we're trying to talk about, right? Is the ones that we're comfortable telling most people, we would say, the majority of people. We love them, so we want to tell you guys about them. So, Thumbs from Image Comics for Doc. For me this week, I am going back to DC Comics. I can't even, what the hell book did I talk about last week?
The Darkness.
The Darkness. Okay, so I did Image last week. You did Marvel because you did a Spider-Man book. So I'm going back to the big two this week after a little bit of a break. And I'm talking about Flashpoint. Now, again, these are books that, you know, the book I'm talking about, Doc has not read, and vice versa. So you know Flashpoint, you've heard about Flashpoint, but as Doc has said multiple times on this show, he's always been more of a Marvel guy when looking between the two, and even then, more of an indie comics guy than anything. As much as you're starting to see what I see, that DC in the past few years is frustrating. Sometimes they can be frustrating. In general, though, of the big two, they're the superior when it comes to comics right now. The big screen, totally different story, but that's also why I want to talk about Flashpoint, and I'm glad you haven't read it. Now, before I get into details and anything about the book itself, writer Jeff Johns, artist Andy Kubert, inkers Sandra Hope and Jess Delperdang, I think I got that right, colorist Alex Sinclair, and letterer Nick J. Napolitano. Now, this is a book that is difficult to really dig into without spoiling things. I will not do that. But it's very plot dependent. We're dealing with characters, you know, as it happens a lot with the big two books in general. It's very plot dependent, and we're seeing characters that we know in different roles and everything. So I'll give you like a little synopsis. And again, you know, knowing that people know that it's out there and know some things about it, I don't want to just trying to navigate it carefully. So. Essentially, my synopsis of this is the DC timeline is fucked up. The characters we all know and love are very different from the versions that we know them as. And only one person can fix this mess, but figuring out how to do so is the true challenge. That's Flashpoint in a nutshell. And basically, this did like what DC Metal, Death Metal, excuse me, did for DC just recently. Flashpoint basically did the same thing back in 2011. And we get, obviously you're dealing with Flash and it's Barry Allen. That's not a spoiler or anything like that. But let's see, the big reason with all this that I wanted to, like I said, it's been in the news and people are talking about it mainly because of the Cyborg stuff, right? Cyborg is apparently out with DC, or Ray Fisher is, excuse me. And I believe he's not getting recast is the whole thing. Either way, Cyborg plays a pretty important role in Flashpoint. There's no question about it. It plays a prominent role, actually, is a better way to put it. Prominent role. However, what he does within the story of the book, I would not say he can't be replaced by somebody. There are certain, definitely other DC characters that if you wanted to mix them in, I don't want to throw names out there just because who is and who isn't involved in the actual story, but you could definitely mix in another character who is of similar stature or whatever in the DC universe and still be okay just because of what Cyborg does. Does he make more sense? Yeah, because I've seen him there already and how he is as an individual outside of the whole Flashpoint and everything. Again, it makes more sense, but you can totally make it work. He's not irreplaceable. I think the DC readers will probably be a little annoyed with it. Whatever, fine. I know personally, I know personally that I won't mind as much, but I will probably notice. I will be probably critical about who they end up picking for that. But either way, the casual movie fan, like if you see the movie first doc and don't read the book, you'll be fine. I think Mac and Goo, they won't care about that necessarily because they're not reading the books. Wes, he's not going to care about that either. Billy, all those guys. So whereas Keith, Davey, Shine, they may notice it. I don't know if those guys have read Flashpoint specifically themselves. Now, for me, for those who are watching us, you've seen me wear this shirt before on Change My Mind or here. This is my favorite Batman logo worn by a Batman, because obviously Red Hood wears the Batman logo as well. You get my favorite Batman in Flashpoint. Absolute favorite Batman. I have the action figure and everything too that McFarlane put out. It was a Target exclusive, and honestly, Doc, I think we've talked about this before. If it's not, it's Eddie's Toy Box who's talked to me about it before. I get so annoyed with these exclusives. Oh, it's Goo that complains about the exclusive. Goo freaking hates him because he's like I think it was the Raphael Casey Walmart exclusive. I don't think he's gotten it yet. And now you got to get it on eBay.
Yeah.
Get it. Yeah. I think your Superman Red Sun that you want to get is an exclusive somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's Target as well.
Such a pain. Those things, dude, they're a pain in the ass to get. I tried to order online like 5 times there, and it was until like the third try that I got it.
And I don't have patience for that shit anymore. If I can't walk in the store and get it, fuck it. I'm not
so freaking stupid. But anyways, so you get him in this, and I don't want to tell you guys who it is. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of people who know who it is. I'm sure we have listeners who know who that is. But I know we just recommended that this book before we even did the show. I believe it was Jake Macaraco from Crossing State Lines, right? Yeah. He's going to go read Flashpoint. I don't want to tell him anything about. I don't want to tell him who that is. Okay, but it's I just Batman is like everybody else in Flashpoint is different, and I'll just leave it at that. He also gets a one-off in this, and there's a separate trade for that too that I also own. This is actually the world. It's called the World of Flashpoint, and you get a Batman story, you get a Deathstroke story. You get, I believe, a Teen Titans story, and then you get another one called Dead Man and the Flying Graysons. So I really enjoyed that too. I would love it if this Batman got a Black Label series. It would be outstanding. A one-off was good. It was, but I want more. I don't know how DC's going to handle this that one going forward, because again, it was resetting things for New 52. We saw that Batman pop up in other stories. They did a Tales from the Dark Multiverse story as well, that I talked about on here, and I really enjoyed that. I think if you like Flashpoint, you will love what they did with that one-off. But man, I really think that this Batman, and it's really hard for me not to say who it is, I wish that that character got like a 6-issue arc. Give it to, I don't know, Sean Murphy or somebody like that, anybody. I just think it would be Christopher Priest, if he wanted to do some Black Label stuff, it would be really, really freaking cool. Outside of that, this is also an animated movie. So I believe that stuff's available on HBO Max. I'm not certain. I watched it on the DC Universe app, but I know Wes is whipping through the some of the stuff on HBO Max. I think he's watched Superman Red Sun, or he's going to, but he's watched a few of those things and he's really enjoyed it. I don't recommend Batman Hush in the animated form. The book is so much better, and I don't get why they made some of the decisions that they made in the Hush animated movie, but you know what? They've done so well with that in general. Like, I don't want to complain too much, but God, it is kind of perplexing how they screw some of that up. Anyways, that's Flashpoint in a nutshell. Again, because you can't get into too much of the plot, but I recommend it. If you don't know anything about it, if you want to know some stuff going into the movie, I think it's a pretty easy read. And I'm not a Flash guy either. I'm not Barry Allen, Wally West, it doesn't matter. It's just I don't dislike the character. It just doesn't do anything for me. I've read some of his Rebirth stuff, and I will probably go back and read some of it because there's a villain that's created in Rebirth, opposite the Flash, that I really thought was cool. And I think Reverse Flash is pretty cool too. But just in general, like, that power doesn't do much for me. And Barry's all right, but it's just – I don't know. I've never connected with speedsters.
Yeah, I've never been a big Flash guy. Yeah, that's why I'm familiar with Flashpoint, and I know of it, but I never read it because I didn't really ever care to read it. To me, Flash is, my focus is, Batman, Superman, some of the other more popular characters, and Flash is, pops in here and there, and that's fine. I need little doses of Flash. I tried watching the Flash show on the CW. First season was fine, but I didn't really continue it past that just because
a lot of people like that.
Yeah. I don't really care about Flash. And so, but I did read Heroes in Crisis, which, I didn't hate, but I guess people who do love the Flash don't like.
Yes. But we're also dealing with different Flashes all of that as well. Mine's Barry Allen. That one is
Wally West.
Yes, Wally West. And I believe Barry Allen in it as well. I haven't read. I did read that one as well.
The best thing about that, though, is the Booster Gold stuff. He's a very underrated character.
Yeah, a lot of people like him too. Like people who are really into comics big time, like not just the movies and stuff, really like Booster Gold.
Well, because he's funny and he's flawed and all that. But I also read Future States Flash, which was an interesting story. I didn't hate it. I was expecting Flash, whatever. Okay, I'll read it. It's part of Future State, but I definitely want to, I would say I'm looking forward to the next issue, but when it's out, I'm definitely going to read it. So this is, and the movies always looked like the cartoon, because as you said, DC animated stuff always, not always, 9 times out of 10 knocks it out of the park. They fucked up the Killing Joke. They fucked up Hush.
Killing Joke, I know it's their animated stuff, but it's part of a different era too.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So,
and there was this brief little period where they made a couple of things that just, they weren't great. A couple of years ago, they made a couple of animated movies that weren't great. But I loved, what's the Aquaman one? Atlantis. That one was great. Throne of Atlantis.
When was that one?
That was 3-4 years ago, maybe.
I never saw that one. Maybe it's because it's Aquaman. But
so go check it out, man. It's good. It's really good. And I think they did a Robin Batman one that wasn't that great, but most of their stuff, for the most part, is really good. So I'll definitely go check this out, and I'll definitely read the book. That's the other thing too. There's so many crisis events, and with Flash and DC that was like,
it's a lot, But like this was, like I said, like what Death Metal is doing for Future State and DC moving forward. Flashpoint did that back in 2011, leading into Rebirth. So while some of this stuff is like kind of crazy and oh my God, what's going on? Flashpoint's one of those where it's like, you look back on it and you kind of would like to know what happened with all that, some of the details. And there's a character, Batman's not the only one that had, and Cyborg are not the only ones that have like little twists under them. I'm not digging into who else gets messed around with because it's going to ruin things for people and take away from the experience. But there are quite a few characters who I care about, who you care about, that are just very different from how we're used to seeing them. And I really enjoyed how this was done with Johns.
Which sounds like something that I would enjoy versus like reading something reading Flash for a long time, loving Flash for a long time, and then reading something where it's so completely different. You're just like, what the hell are we doing here? So going in with fresh eyes and a fresh perspective, I think will probably lead to better enjoyment.
Yeah.
Last thing though, do you think that, you know, going forward with, you know, all the Ray Fisher stuff, and especially with, you know, they're doing the Flashpoint, do you think they give Cyborg the Kitty Pryde treatment, you know, that Marvel did with Days of Future Past, you know, and Kitty Pryde, because she was a huge character in the comic.
Yep.
But non-existent, you know, in the movie. Is that something they can pull off?
Yeah, I think you absolutely can do that with Cyborg. I mean, the thing about Cyborg is, like, he's, I think, part of what, like, I'm not a big Cyborg guy, but from what I gather with the character, people like him because he, as much as he's more machine than he is man, like, he's still got the soul of a man.
Right.
And he's trying to do what's right all the time and just and everything. And I that guy being a former athlete and everything, it kind of makes sense in line of who he is. Yeah, I think that's important. And I think you kind of want to have Cyborg, but at the same time, I don't know how many people are really going to be like, oh shit, we don't have Cyborg anymore. Now, you may not like it because you feel like Ray Fisher got screwed over or whatever. That's fine. I haven't paid a ton of attention to that portion of it all, but I just don't think the character of Cyborg, people are going to be like devastated. And plus, I'm pretty sure that you have another Cyborg character in the in Doom Patrol. So as DC kind of reworks things, you could probably try and move that guy and slide him into that position as well and be fine. So I don't know how they do that exactly, but I feel like there's room to do something like that. So,
All right. Sounds good. Definitely worth checking out for sure.
So, and like we said, we already have somebody who's going to, Jake from Crossing State Lines is already picking that up. So, DC, we're doing your work for you. All right. Now, do we have any updates for the DSG book club?
I don't think so, because it's hard. See, you came up with this idea, and I'm thinking in the back of my head, what good is it going to be when no one else can read?
Well, Shyam, Davey, and Keith can read. And we know Keith just texted us about looking for recommendations and stuff like that. So I told him personally, the recent, again, I always miss
Constantine.
It. Yeah. But Cy Spurrier, the recent Constantine run from Black Label. And then of course, Tom Taylor's 3-issue run, but the Cy Spurrier run, the first trade is out. I believe the second one it's gotta be coming soon. So that was really good.
And then he listed off a bunch of Joe Hill House stuff. So it definitely said check out Basket Full of Heads, and then he might check out Dollhouse, and then a book that he had on there that I think I haven't read yet that I've been dying because I mentioned it to you. It's Jeff Lemire's The Joker, or I think it's called The Smile or whatever it's called. That one I think I definitely want to read and then give some consideration to do on here because it's Lemire and it's
bad. Another example of. He loves Marvel just like we do, especially when it comes to the movies and the X-Men, the animated series, and all that stuff. But the DC comics are just better right now.
They just really have it. And I'm sure, you know, at some point these things go in waves and they swing and all the way around.
Right. And speaking of DC, of course, we have our tie-in coming up on Friday this week. We're only doing those in video form. You're not going to really get that on the Change My Mind channel or Geeks Worldwide Radio. So make sure you guys tune in to that. Doc, what do you guys got going on this week on I've Heard It Both Ways?
So before we jump into that, Nick, do you want to answer the question we have down here from Norgrim42?
Oh, okay. Are there prerequisites to do Dark Knight Death Metal, or is it a standalone? So I would say you kind of just have to have a greater understanding of what's going on in the DC universe and recognize – you know, the history of comics and how we joke, you know, it's comics. And if somebody dies, it's comics. Know that going into it. And if you have a concept of the major events that have gone on, I would say in the past few years, and then the super, like Flashpoint and Crisis on Infinite Earths, like that have gone on in years past. If you have an idea of those things, then you're going to be fine going into this. And then you can just read it. And again, Doc just read the main line. I read the tie-ins. I think the tie-ins, if you're a really big comics fan, it's worth your time to go and pick those up. There's like only one that was like, no, that like I just would not touch. Other than that, they were all good. But you can find those reviews on Geeks World Live. But in general, short answer to your question is having a general idea of the major events that have happened in a few years past and over DC's history, the really, really significant ones outside of the past decade, I would say.
And I might say go back and read you know, the Scott Snyder's first metal run.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I would do that.
Because I had started to read death metal before I read metal. You know, I mean, I was able to pick it up, but I had also read The Batman Who Laughs, you know, by Snyder before. So I had an idea of the character. But if you wanted to just do the basics, I would say get your hands on a copy of Metal, read that, and then you can go right into death metal and be A-okay.
Awesome. All right. So you have I Heard It Both Ways on Thursday night. Of course, that's available on the PCP app. I mean, channel and audio version. That's 8:30, right? Episode 8 this week?
8:30 on Thursday nights. We'll be talking. So this week we'll be talking about season 1, episode 8.
And you'll be twitching as always. And until next time, Doc, stay sexy.
You know it.